BBC Natural World. A 4x4 climbing a steep, muddy slope.
A dedicated team is heading deep into the Central American rainforest. Their cargo is precious. A troop of orphan spider monkeys. Their mission is simple. To return the monkeys to where they belong. It's all in a day's work for the staff at the Jungle Animal Hospital. Here, the wards are full of rescued animals, all hoping for a chance of freedom. The day-to-day tasks are endless, the highs and lows exhausting, and the unexpected never surprising.
We try to do our best. We need to make sure that these animals have a second chance because they do deserve it.
What is certain is that the hospital's vets and their team will work tirelessly to help every patient that comes through their doors.
It takes a lot of time and effort to do it, but that's what we're here for, because that one little animal needs help.
This is animal rehab, jungle style. A daily battle to save lives in Guatemala's busiest rescue centre.
Jungle Animal Hospital. Narrated by John Hanna. A man disembarks from a small motorboat carrying a cardboard box.
There's a special delivery for the vets at Arcas Rescue Centre. Animals find their way here from all over Guatemala, most of them victims of the illegal pet trade. With over 700 animals of all shapes and sizes, the centre is already at full capacity. But they try to turn no one away.
Can you give me a hand?
The latest arrival is just 1 month old.
They open the box to reveal a tiny monkey.
We've got a baby spider monkey here, given up to the authorities in Guatemala City. They send her up to us. People keeping monkeys as pets is sadly quite common. The only way to get a baby monkey like her is to kill the mother and then keep this little baby orphan within a human environment.
Alejandro Morales has dedicated his life to saving animals and trained as a vet so that he could make a difference.
All right, yep, bring her in.
His partner, Anna Bryant, is a zoologist from New Zealand and takes care of all the young orphaned animals that come through the door.
There's a very traumatic time for them. They've been ripped away from their mother and they've been stuck in a box or in a car for God knows how long, so it's for the best that she's here now.
Spider monkeys in an enclosure.
The baby monkey is now at the start of a 5-year journey through the rescue centre, which will culminate with her release back into the wild. After a period in quarantine, she will join up with other rescued spider monkeys to form their own troop. Here, she will hopefully find a mate and go on to rear her own young. Eventually, her troop will be moved into a much larger enclosure within the forest. This will be the final stage of their rehabilitation. This troop has been living here for over a year, and all being well, is due for release in just 3 months' time. They should now have learnt to recognise their natural food and develop the climbing skills they need to move around the canopy. It's now crunch time for these monkeys. Anna is carrying out a final study to see if they're ready. there's one monkey that Anna is most worried about. An adult male called Bruce.
He separates himself away from the group and doesn't interact as well as the other ones do. Unfortunately, he's the underdog of the group, really, which does make you feel a bit more attached to him in some respect, because he is such a distinctive-looking monkey, as well as we've obviously had a lot of focus on him.
Bruce is now 7 years old, and this is his only chance for release. But he must learn to socialise more if he is to survive in the wild. Over the coming weeks, Anna will be keeping a close eye on his progress. The jungles of Central America are among the most important in the world. Once the centre of a lost civilization, this vast tract of wilderness is known as the Maya Forest, stretching from Guatemala through Belize into Mexico. It's home to over 4,000 species, including some of the jungle's most celebrated animals.
It's one of the largest tropical rainforests that are left in the world. When you get on top of the canopy, it's just this green carpet that extends for kilometers and kilometers, and there's nothing around you but forest. It's immense, but it's also so frail and so threatened.
In the last 30 years, huge areas of land across Central and South America have been cleared for agriculture. As a result, some of the region's most precious wildlife is now under threat. And one of the most iconic species is the scarlet macaw. These magnificent birds were once a common sight, but the subspecies found here in Guatemala is rapidly disappearing. Scientists believe there are now fewer than 300 individuals left in the wild. This year, the team at the rescue centre are planning to make history by releasing a group of their own captive-bred macaws to boost the wild population.
In slow motion, a macaw in flight in the enclosure with bright yellow, red and blue plumage.
With these birds in such danger, each new chick is extremely precious.
Alejandro opens the door of a wooden nest box, revealing a tiny baby inside.
We're looking at a two, three-day baby scarlet macaw. It's just a little beautiful thing. And it's got a full crop, so that means the parents are feeding him. It looks very, very healthy, three-day-old baby. There's no words to describe how important each one of these animals is. And this is how it all begins.
Once it's fledged, this chick will eventually join those waiting to be released into the forest. At the Mammal Quarantine Department, the centre's newest spider monkey is settling in well. She's just starting to feed from a bottle. Anna needs to form a bond so she can care for her, but she also has to be careful not to get too attached.
We obviously want them to trust us enough for us to be able to feed them and for us to help them develop and for them to gain weight and to not be too stressed, but we also don't want them to be too used to us. If she was with her mother, she'd have a lot more contact. Her mother would carry her constantly with her. If we were to do that, we probably wouldn't be able to release her in the long run. So it's a fine line that we have to tread, but it's a very, very heartwarming moment when they do look at you like that. Very cool.
The baby monkey has been given a teddy bear as a surrogate mother, She will remain in quarantine for the next 3 months.
The door of the baby monkey's crate is closed, the enclosure being hosed, then swept.
With so many mouths to feed, the work at the centre goes on 7 days a week, all year round. Most of the feeding and cleaning is done by local staff and volunteers from all over the world, while the vets deal with the emergencies in the clinic. It's a never-ending conveyor belt of rescued animals of all shapes and sizes, revealing the richness of the Guatemalan jungle, but also the shocking extent of the pet trade. The animals are treated by the vets, then nursed back to full health, before hopefully being returned to the wild.
Armadillos foraging in the enclosure. A parrot flying up out of its cage. Then two helpers carrying a caiman to the water's edge, which, once set free, leaps into the water.
Arriba.
Some patients are deemed fit for immediate release and come in and go out the door on the same day.
A bird of prey is released into the forest.
The centre also attracts wild visitors from all over the forest, drawn in by the prospect of a free meal. A flock of black vultures are regular diners at the crocodile pool, risking life and limb for a piece of fresh chicken.
A black vulture pecks a piece of chicken from the crocodile pool.
Even the ants are on the take, making sure nothing goes to waste.
Ants are crawling over the crocodile, carrying food.
Occasionally, some of these wild animals come to the vet's attention.
A howler monkey.
A family of howler monkeys visits the centre every day, helping themselves to leftovers. Alejandro has noticed the baby has a large growth on its neck, which could become serious unless treated. He wouldn't normally interfere, but it's impossible for him to ignore it.
It's a good thing that we caught him at the time that we did, because the bigger that injury gets, the more of a threat it is to him. He could get a big infection, he could get like a big mass in his neck, and that can put some pressure on his spine and on his nerves. And you don't want a monkey with problems with their nerves, because they could fall down from the tree.
He cuts open the growth, releasing a pus-like liquid. Then, using tweezers, pulls out what resembles a small maggot.
This is a botfly larva. They're fairly common in wild monkeys, but could be fatal for a baby.
They become very, very dangerous when they're very, very big, so that's where we intervene. We usually don't intervene in these kind of things. We need to make sure that the wound is cleansed so that he can go back out and that there is no secondary infection.
The baby howler monkey is finally reunited with his mother and should make a speedy recovery.
A howler monkey sitting calmly on a stone ledge, its mouth formed into an O shape. From the air, the canopy of trees covering the enclosure.
The spider monkey troop now has just 6 weeks left before their planned release.
One of the carers tips food onto a feeding sling, which is hoisted up to the canopy.
It's breakfast time. A raucous occasion which brings them all together.
Monkeys descending on the sling of food.
All except Bruce.
Bruce is still not mixing with the rest of the troop. But that's not the only problem. He's also spending too much time on the ground, picking up any food that falls from above. And more worrying still, having spent his early life as a pet, Bruce has never developed a fear of humans.
He's very used to people. He'll come close to the fence, he'll sit beside us. He doesn't want to be afraid of us, and so it's very, very difficult to be able to try and get him to understand that he needs to be. He also is taking to sleeping on the ground, under the bushes. I do feel a little bit sorry for him because he's come so far and he's been given this chance to be able to go back into the wild, and so it's very, very difficult to see a monkey that's almost there, that's got the chance to almost be free, to not being able to exhibit the right behaviour.
Flying over the dense jungle canopy.
Out in the wild, spider monkeys have to watch out for a wide range of predators. So they're naturally very cautious. They spend over 90% of their life in the canopy and rarely go down to the forest floor. If they do, it's for the shortest possible time.
Spider monkeys cautiously descending to drink from a river.
One of their greatest enemies is the jaguar, the jungle's top predator.
Sensing the jaguar's presence, the spider monkeys immediately scatter.
To survive in the wild, spider monkeys need to be on their guard at all times. Bruce must spend more time up in the trees if he's to stand a chance of being released. Having tried everything to help him, Anna is now taking extreme measures.
She uses a lighter to ignite a firecracker, which she throws into the spider monkey enclosure.
She's using firecrackers to scare Bruce off the ground.
It's a very loud noise, very sharp noise, and they get scared and they will therefore associate being on the ground with bad things, with negative things. We want to give them the best possible chance, and in order to do that, they need to be up in the trees for the majority of their time.
Bruce won't be set free with the rest of the troop unless he can change his behaviour. At the clinic, an unusual patient has been brought in with a nasty fracture.
We received a baby northern potu, which is a very, very rare bird.
Potus are secretive nocturnal birds, closely related to nightjars. This is the only one they've ever seen in the clinic.
He has a broken leg, so we're going to anesthetize him and see if we can repair his leg.
With so many different shaped animals to treat, the vets often have to improvise on the spot.
Alejandro adapts a surgical glove.
No one makes standard gas masks for baby northern potus. We have a makeshift one that we use with recycled materials. It's quite young. These species don't really do well in captivity, so we'll do as little intervention and as little time with us as possible.
The bird's head is carefully pushed into the makeshift gas mask.
And we'll push in, push in, push.
The potu will not survive in the wild with a broken leg, as he can't forage for his own food. His only chance is immediate surgery. This is the first time Alejandro has ever had to operate on a potu, and it will require all his skill as a vet.
With the potu now anaesthetised, Alejandro dons surgical gloves.
This is very, very painful.
Once the potu is safely asleep, Alejandro's first job is to try to straighten the broken bone.
Okay. Right now it's aligned and it's in a good position. Keep the leg at that height.
He uses a fine thread to tie around the broken leg, then bandages it. Then he folds back the cloth which is covering the potu's head.
Can you turn that off the light, please? Thank you. And
the operation has worked.
Yeah, hold on.
But the potu can't be released until he's fully healed.
It's not the most stable of fractures, but it will hold. It will hold, and now all we need to do is find out what we're meant to feed him.
Alejandro is mixing up a cocktail of fruit and flies to tempt the potu into eating.
If you touch their beak, they open.
With the potu's mouth wide open, it's hand-fed.
It's a very, very big mouth. Up to now, I don't think that he's liking what we're feeding him, because he's not swallowing completely. So we're gonna keep trying, because there's really not much we can do but try. We need to make him eat. He has to eat, because if he doesn't eat, he's not gonna get better from his fracture, and we're not gonna be able to release him.
The next 24 hours will be critical for the potu. And it's also a very important day for the Scarlet Macaws. They're taking a major step closer to freedom. Today, nine of these birds are being selected for release.
Carers enter the macaw enclosure with nets.
The vets need to take a close look at each individual, but they have to catch them first.
They use the long nets to snare the birds as they flutter around.
It's a stressful time for both staff and macaws, but it's unavoidable if they're to move on to the next phase.
It is our job to catch them right now in order to get a good health assessment and to get everything that we need in order for this process to actually move forward.
To avoid any risk to the wild population, the birds must first be screened for diseases. As each individual is so precious, they must be handled with extreme care.
They're actually quite dangerous animals. We need to be very careful, especially about the beak, because these guys break nuts for a living. They can break a nut about the size of our fist. So it has to be restrained with enough technique to make sure that the animal is not injured and you don't get injured as well.
The driving force behind the macaw project is senior vet Fernando Martinez, director of the rescue centre.
Fernando says we're examining their plumage to check its condition, to see if they're capable of flying and going to the next phase.
For Fernando, the release is the fulfilment of his lifetime's ambition.
Fernando explains the release of these macaws is very important to reinforce the wild population. It's fantastic to be able to do it this year. Blood samples being put into tubes.
The nine chosen macaws are now going to live in a much larger enclosure. Their new home is 40 metres long and will give them space to fly. This is the macaw's final cage before they're set free.
The chosen macaws are released from their cages and take flight into the larger enclosure.
it's really cool to be able to see them fly out and be in a cage that has trees in it. It's really, really important for them at this stage to build up their muscle development.
We need to give them power of flight. They know how to fly, but we need to give them that capacity, you know, to fly long distances, having their wings completely spread out and being able to just have that exercise.
If all goes well, in a matter of weeks, these will be the first captive-bred scarlet macaws ever to be released into the Guatemalan rainforest.
From the air, dense rainforest gives way to a river in the far distance.
It's 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and Alejandro is worried about the potu, so he's heading into the clinic.
He cycles along a forest track to the clinic and carries his bike inside.
Today's my day off, but the potu needs to be fed, and he's very weak, so I'm not having anyone else feed him, so I'm coming in the morning and in the afternoon to feed him.
Even after 10 years' experience and hundreds of patients, some animals hit a soft spot. And Alejandro has started having dreams about the potu.
Early this morning, I dreamt about him being dead. So the first thing I did was just grab my bicycle and I rode to work to make sure that he was okay. Because it was quite a hideous dream. I actually haven't had that for a while.
After feeding the potu, he puts the lid back on its crate. He stands at the crate, watching the bird.
As the hours pass, Alejandro stays in the clinic by the potu's side to keep watch.
He puts on his stethoscope and places the end inside the crate. Then, after he's finished listening to the potu's heartbeat, he leans against a kitchen workbench by the gas stove. There's a pot on the stove, which he then draws liquid from into a syringe. Then he's holding the potu gently while using his other hand to direct a tube into the bird's throat.
The potu still hasn't gained any weight, and Alejandro is taking it personally.
Right now it's just giving some fluids and I hope that he can actually have a bit of fight in him and I can give him a hand and get him back to full strength the way he was a few days ago. You can just see him fade little by little, and some animals do get to you for the most unexpected reasons. It was just heartbreaking.
Despite all Alejandro's efforts, the potu doesn't make it.
He gently covers the bird's body with a soft blanket.
Life in the forest is fragile, and fresh casualties arrive every day. The staff here fight for every life, but the battle against the illegal pet trade is never ending. Wildlife trafficking often takes place under the cover of darkness. One of the most common methods for smuggling animals out of the forest is by public transport. The vets from the rescue centre are trying to combat the trade by working with the authorities at checkpoints on the main routes out of the jungle.
At night, officials are waving vehicles to the side of the road and searching them.
It is breeding season for all the parrots and some of the mammals as well. So there is a very high chance that a lot of little baby orphans that have been taken away from their mothers or away from their nests are going to be found in one of these vehicles tonight.
As the operation goes on, the officers find more and more baby parrots. This batch were hidden in the hold of the bus. A young couple is apprehended and taken into custody.
This kind of scenario is quite common for someone to get a bird into their bag and try to transport it in a bus, because that's easy money for them. Illegal easy money. It's our job to protect the animal. The animal now becomes evidence, and that evidence is under our care.
These baby parrots are the lucky ones. They'll be given the best possible chance to be free again. Whenever new patients arrive at the rescue centre, the first job is to get them checked in.
Alejandro stamps the paperwork.
The priority for now is to rehydrate and feed these baby parrots after their traumatic journey out of the jungle.
As long as we can undo their malnutrition, we will have a very good chance of success with this, guys. We can still teach them how to be proper parrots and not how to depend on humans.
In 1 month alone, the centre can receive over 100 baby parrots.
We do tend to get a lot of baby parrots in. It's the season when they start hatching, and that's the time when it's very easy for people to grab them. It's really, really sad, and it's unfortunately quite common.
Most baby parrots never even make it to market. The vast majority die en route.
The way that people carry these animals is completely inhumane. They're wrapped up in plastic bags. They usually can't breathe, and that is why there's a lot of fatalities. Up to 70, 80% of the animals die in transit in order for people to please themselves, and that is... It just makes you angry.
If all goes well, in 2 years' time, these baby parrots will be returned to the forest.
Containers on shelves in the sanctuary containing baby parrots.
But not every rescued animal has the chance to go back to the wild. A pet puma has just been confiscated from a family home, and he will now stay here for the rest of his life.
Unfortunately, we won't be able to release him. He would normally be taught by his mother how to hunt properly, and that's been taken away from him. Also, very, very sadly, a lot of people's first response to seeing a puma is to shoot them. We can't put him back into a situation like that. It's not fair.
The rescue centre is also home to two orphan jaguars. They were confiscated as pet cubs and never learned to hunt from their mother. They would not survive in the forest. All the vets can do is give them food and a safe place to live out their days.
In close-up, the docile jaguar's sad, staring eyes. The sanctuary from the air, nestling in the rainforest.
Anna's mammal quarantine department is filling up quickly. Her latest patient is a baby grey fox, found alone in the jungle. He'll now stay under Anna's care for the next 6 months, until he's old enough to fend for himself.
He's eating incredibly well, which is great. We just gave him a little bit of a run round. Obviously, he needs a bit of exercise as well, but the less handling that we do of him, the better. And he's still quite aggressive and still a little bit scared, so it looks good for him being able to be released in the future.
Working with baby spider monkeys brings its own challenges. They're highly social animals in constant need of attention.
The cages are quite close together and she's wanting to grab. And so what spider monkeys do is when they can't reach with their hands, they'll use their tail, which is what she's doing quite well.
No matter how hard Anna tries not to get attached, the spider monkeys sometimes prove impossible to ignore.
One of the tiny monkeys peers through the bars of its crate.
The troop of spider monkeys due for release is now on the final countdown to freedom. Bruce has started to mend his ways. He's spending more time up in the trees, interacting with the rest of the troop. Today, his fate will be decided.
Over the last month or so, he's definitely showing some improvements, interacting with the young babies as well as with the males. It's still unsure as to whether or not he will be able to be released. Luckily, it's not my decision. But we'll see how it goes, and we'll be able to hopefully release him.
The only alternative for Bruce is to spend the rest of his life alone in captivity. So after much deliberation, the vets finally give Bruce the go-ahead for release. The next challenge is to capture the whole troop and attach radio collars so they can be tracked in the wild. Now that they've been trained to avoid people, this won't be easy. Alejandro needs to set a trap.
They're going to have some food inside, and ideally that will lure them in. And when they try to get out, they're going to pull this rope, and that rope will close the door. The last thing that they'll remember from people is that if people feed them, they get trapped. That is the last image of people that they will have. And it's a good thing because they're meant to stay away from us.
The spider monkeys seem to know something is not quite right. But the food is irresistible. The alpha male is the first to try it. He gets away scot-free. Now the others follow his lead.
Spider monkeys climb down into the trap to collect the food. One climbs out again and the door springs shut, trapping the two that remain.
The trap has sprung, and a young mother and her baby are caught. She instantly starts searching for the way out. It's not long before she finds it.
She climbs up to the trap door, pushes it open, and climbs out with her baby.
Alejandro's trap has failed.
They're very smart. They're problem solvers. They have found one of the weak spots of the enclosure already. We've been training them for years to outsmart us, and now we need to outsmart them again.
He adjusts the ropes and pulleys, then sets the trap once again.
This time the trap works, and the first two monkeys are captured. Alejandro now has to enter the cage to administer a sedative. This is something no one on the team enjoys, but it has to be done so the monkeys can be given a full health check before release.
The final captures are tough psychologically on them and on us, because as much as we know that it's the right thing to do, it's very stressful for them, and you can see the suffering and the fear in their eyes. The toughest bit is for them to not understand how much we love them.
Two workers carefully carry a sedated spider monkey.
As the remaining members of the troop get caught, there is one monkey who is refusing to cooperate. Bruce. Having finally learned to stay up in the trees, away from people, he's now in no rush to come down. Eventually, Bruce also succumbs to temptation.
Bruce finally climbs down into the trap cage. Alejandro manages to catch Bruce and, after a brief struggle, carries him out of the trap enclosure, duly sedated.
The trooper leaving their enclosure for the last time. After the health check, they are fitted with radio collars so they can be monitored post-release. The decision to let Bruce go was a difficult one, as there are still doubts over whether he's ready.
He has been interacting with the juveniles and doing a lot of positive things, but there's still a slight concern. We do everything we can to give them a fighting shot, but it's entirely up to them once those cages are no more in their life.
In slow motion, the wheels of a 4x4 mounting a muddy slope.
It's D-Day for Bruce and the rest of the troop. Though they don't yet know it, they're on their way back to the wild. They're heading into Rio Azul National Park, as far away from people as possible. But it's a 15-hour drive through challenging terrain.
The four-wheel drive vehicles struggle along a pass through deep mud. It's slow going as they make their way through the undulating, muddy jungle terrain.
Across their range, spider monkeys have declined by over 50% in the last 45 years. This is now the 8th troop to be released by the rescue centre and will help boost the wild population.
It's been a very long journey with them, with various ups and downs. These are monkeys that have had an awful start to life. They've been ripped away from their mothers, from their families, and now here they all are. So you couldn't ask for anything really better. They don't know what's going on. They're just looking through what they can see through the cages. But it's finally sinking in now that we're only minutes away from letting them out. It's the last minutes that they're going to be in a cage for the rest of their life.
We've done pretty much everything we can, and this is the culmination of it. And there's not much more than Godspeed and good luck, monkeys.
In close-up, a spider monkey's fingers through the bars of its travel crate. The team of 8 or so carers walk up to the row of travel crates lined up on the ground. Standing behind the crates, which are facing away from them, they reach around to open the doors. The monkeys tentatively step out of the crates. Then, with what seems like growing confidence, they begin hurrying off into the dense jungle undergrowth. Anna watches them, smiling broadly, and chuckles to herself. The monkeys then begin climbing the trees.
As the troop starts to explore their new world, there's one monkey who is refusing to come out. Bruce. He's not quite ready to head into the wild and needs a bit of encouragement to leave the safety of his cage.
He moves towards the open door of the crate, but doesn't come out. The lid of the crate is then lifted off, leaving him exposed. He sits for a moment in the tray, but then finally crawls out of it. He proceeds into the jungle, where the others have now climbed up into the trees. He hurries off into the dense jungle, where he eventually disappears from sight. Anna gazes up at the trees.
Seeing them up there, that's where they're meant to be. So it couldn't be a nicer feeling, to be honest. It's one of those things that you kind of dream about but never actually think is going to happen. And it's...
She's tearful.
It's really happy. It doesn't look like it's happy. It's just incredible. I can't stop smiling.
Over the next few months, some of the team will stay in the forest to follow the monkey's progress. After that, they're on their own.
Now, high up in the canopy, the monkeys swing from tree to tree. The rescue centre from the air, then some of the hospital team unloading a pickup truck. Crates of bananas being unloaded and stacked.
At the rescue centre, there are still hundreds of hungry mouths to feed. And there are more arriving every day. The latest inpatients are a family of baby toucans who have fallen from their nest. These prehistoric-looking creatures would never have survived alone in the jungle. But now they will be hand-reared and eventually set free. In the mammal quarantine department, the centre's youngest spider monkey is starting on the first stage of her training, learning how to climb.
It's very, very important that she learns her coordination and learns how to hold on to trees. She doesn't quite know what to do with all her arms and legs and that she has a tail to use, but she'll develop and in no time she'll be playing on this all the time and it will be a lot more difficult to get her off it.
A baby spider monkey climbs down the branches, then peers out from underneath one of them. A boat's making its way along the jungle river to the rescue centre.
The staff at the rescue centre don't just deal with the victims of the pet trade. They also try to tackle its causes.
Hola. Bienvenidos.
Groups of local school children are brought into the centre to meet the animals and to see the impacts of the illegal trade for themselves.
Welcome to Arcas. My name's Hannah and this is Carlos. Carlos has been working here for many years. He's been here for 10 years. He knows all about the animals here.
Carlos grew up in this area and wants the next generation to learn to value the unique wildlife around them.
Carlos explains, for us, it's really important that the children are aware of the value of protecting wild animals. The idea is that they learn that animals should be free in the wild and not locked up in a cage. The children stare at a parrot with bright green plumage.
The hope is that if the children understand the suffering caused by the pet trade, then demand may eventually dry up.
A child says, it makes me really sad that they're in a cage and not in the forest, because that's their home, where their family is.
The future of Guatemala's wildlife depends on changing the hearts and minds of the next generation. It may be a gradual process, but Alejandro believes it's beginning to work.
There's a lot of awareness, there's a lot of good humans trying to fight the fight
and we're just hoping that what we do is enough to inspire other people to do what they can.
Six weeks after the spider monkey release, the radio tracking team bring the first reports from the forest with news of the monkey's progress.
We got good news and we got bad news. Good news is that 11 monkeys actually have made it. It's over a month now and they're doing fantastically well. Sadly, two collars were retrieved next to two dead monkeys.
One of the monkeys that died was Bruce.
They're not sure how he died. They just found him on the floor. That it could have just been another monkey group attacked him and he didn't have the protection of the rest of the group. At least he did have those several weeks of freedom and he did have the chance to be wild and to do what he was meant to do. And unfortunately, he just couldn't adapt as well as we'd hoped.
Bruce peering out from foliage.
There's better news from the macaw breeding enclosure. The chick that was born 3 months ago has finally fledged.
In slow motion, a scarlet macaw flies off from its nest box.
With her brand new plumage, she is now Scarlet Macaw number 91. In 2 years' time, she'll be ready for release.
It's a fantastic sight. This little thing that you saw when they were born, coming out of the nest fully feathered and flying, it just draws a big smile on your face. It gives you hope.
The Scarlet Macaw's flight enclosure is empty. The birds are being prepared for their journey to the forest. Five of them are having satellite collars fitted so they can be tracked in the wild. It's time for them to head upriver and into the jungle. The macaws are heading into the Sierra Lacandon National Park, on the border with Mexico. The location has been specially selected because there have been several sightings of wild macaws here this time of year.
The boats pass by a jungle waterfall, carrying the macaws in a crate. They speed through the water with a large team on board, Alejandro and Anna amongst them. They're travelling one behind the other as they streak through the water.
For the centre's director, Fernando, this is the culmination of 20 years' work and is one of the most important days of his life.
He explains, definitely, they are my children. These macaws mean so much to me, to rear them, to see them grow, and now to release them. The boats pull up to the riverbank. Cages containing the scarlet macaws are carefully unloaded.
From the riverbank, it's roughly a 5 kilometer hike to the release site, mostly uphill.
The team treks through the jungle in single file, carrying the cages of macaws.
This is the last time these macaws will ever see the bars of a cage.
Each crate is carried using a long pole, with one worker at either end.
The macaws are being released from the top of a hill overlooking the forest canopy, with plenty of fruiting trees. The hope is that they'll find food straight away and soon encounter members of the wild population.
The door of the first cage is slowly opened. In slow motion, the first of the scarlet macaws tentatively emerges, its claws holding onto the cage bars. Then suddenly the first of the birds breaks free, soaring off into the sky, quickly followed by some of the others.
The team are making history. This is the first time in Guatemala that captive-bred scarlet macaws have been released into the wild.
More of the birds are now taking flight.
With these new individuals, the wild population has just increased by around 5%.
Alejandro and Fernando share a hug in celebration. Fernando wipes tears from his eyes as he watches the birds in flight. In slow motion, a pair of the scarlet macaws flying gracefully. Fernando says, "There are no words to express the emotion I feel." After all these years of waiting, and it's finally happened. I'm really, really happy that they're now free.
They're not meant to be in cages, and to be able to see them go back is... it's just indescribable.
Alejandro hugs Anna, then gives a thumbs up.
But this is just the beginning. The plan is to release 40 individuals over the next 5 years and gradually bring these majestic birds back from the edge of extinction. At the rescue centre, life goes on as before. The next batch of macaws must now start to be prepared for release. And there's good news for the baby spider monkey. After 4 months on her own, she has a new friend. He's a male spider monkey, also rescued from the pet trade. Together, these two will form a new troop. Over time, others will join them, and when they're ready, they'll be returned to the jungle.
Illegal traffic is still happening and animals are still coming in. We will still be here fighting the battle for the animals. What keeps you going is making sure that you win small battles every time. There is hope at the end, and we are part of the hope.